So we're doing a special class from Rav Harlap Meimarom on Parshat Emor. The topic is the holiness of Kehuna, the holiness of Israel. And this breaks down into three subtopics. Number one, the aspect of Kehuna that stems from Amira. Hashem says it, Parshat Emor, Emor el Kohanim, say unto the Kohanim. Part two is a discussion of Tahara, purity, Vikdusha, and holiness, two different concepts. And the third thing we will discuss is Kedushat Yisrael HaMkadshim Tomoadim, the holiness of Israel that impart holiness onto the holidays. Because in Parshat Emor, we first have the discussion of the holiness of Kohanim. And then at the end of the Parsha, we suddenly have a discussion of the sanctity, the holiness of the Moadim, the Yamim Tovim. There's a connection here. So we begin. Rav Harlap says, there is Dibur, there is Amira. Two different words in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Holy Tongue, that describe speech. Amira is something that's said and continues. It doesn't change. Dibur comes from the word dabar, comes from the concept of rulership, to be master of. A ruler is called dabar, the ruler. And so you have asara ma'amarot. When Hashem creates the world, you have 10 constants. Hashem utters 10 utterances in creation, which are constants that keep the world created. And then you have aseret ha-dibrot, 10 commandments, where they command. The word dibur, they are 10 directives. It's not the same as the asara ma'amarot. Ma'amarot are Hashem's utterances that are still around till today. How Hashem created the world, those 10 utterances are constant. The dibrot are lolam Hashem devarcha nitzav b'shamayim. In heaven, yeah, they're constant. Hashem said so, that's the way they are. On earth, they're not constant. Right after Hashem says no worshipping other gods, the Jewish people worship a golden calf. So there isn't a consistency. But when Hashem gives us the Torah, then even the 10 ma'amarot, the 10 utterances, have a shift. There's a change. It says that when Hashem created the world was trembling. Hashem said, Behi bare'am, I am creating you on condition of the five. I'm creating you on the condition that on the Jewish people will accept the Torah. And if not, the whole world will be destroyed. So the whole world exists for 2 millennia with this doubt. Is this going to last? There's what the Gemara calls a trembling. That all of the creation was in doubt until Am Yisrael accepted the Torah. Once Am Yisrael accepts the 10 commandments, Aseret HaDibrot, so then what Hashem's saying is, that is the continuation of the Ma'amarot. If I've said 10 utterances to create the world and they're a constant, well, they're a constant that's on condition. On the condition that Am Yisrael will accept the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 commandments. And that keeps the Asara Ma'amarot going. It keeps the 10 utterances going. That's what the Navi tells us in Yirmiyahu. Im lo vriti, if not for my covenant with the Jewish people of the Torah, yomam v'layla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. I wouldn't have placed the world with all the laws of nature and the day and the night. Everything would have been gone. I left it all hanging to the covenant. Hashem gives us a promise. V'ani zot priti otam, amar Hashem. We quote this pasuk every day. Hashem says, my covenant with the Jewish people is Ruchi asher samti asher alecha odvarai asher samti b'ficha. Hashem promises us, my spirit I placed upon you, my words I've given you. Lo yamushu mipicha umpizaracha umpizarzaracha ma'ata v'ad olam. Right? We quote it every day. Nuva l'tzion. It's a promise. It's supposed to give us encouragement. Hashem says, I promise you the Torah will be with you. So we have a guarantee. Once we accepted the Ten Commandments, we have a continuum. So let's review what we saw until now. We saw that there's Amira, which is a saying, an utterance that's a constant. There's Dibur, that is, it has fluctuation, but it reflects leadership, ownership, rulership. It reflects a mastery over. Hashem gave us Aserta Dibot. They are 10 commandments. Hashem is master over us. But they are not constants like the Asara Mamarot. The 10 declarations Hashem created the world with, well, they're still around. The 10 commandments, they were up to us, whether we'd obey or not. And you see, we didn't. Hashem said the 10 utterances of creation are hanging until you accept the 10 commandments. Once you accept it, Hashem says we have a covenant that's going to last. The Jewish people will retain the Torah. This was all intro. Now we turn to Kohanim. Now we turn to the Kehuna of Aaron. Hashem chooses Aaron to be his Kohen, his priest. Are you a Kohen?
No.
The only Kohen in this class is this gentleman? Okay. So Hashem tells him, you and your seed forever are going to be my Kohanim. The Torah says, Emor el HaKohanim. The commandment of the Kohanim is not like a dibra, a commandment, but rather emor, like the utterances of creation. Tell them something that's constant. The Medrash says, when Hashem said to the Kohanim, emor, that's like the pasuk in Tehillim, like the verse in Psalms that says, imarot Hashem amarot torot. Hashem's utterances, what Hashem says is pure. What are we talking about pure over here? Pure is when something is removed from the physical. We have a world that has two components. There's the physical and the spiritual. And when something is removed from the physical, then it's pure. The more something is connected to the mundane, to the physical, the less pure it is. And when something is removed from the physical, that's when something can be eternal. That which is spiritual can be eternal. Physical things, well, they're not eternal. At some point, they're going to go. I know the advertisement used to say, diamonds are forever. Yeah, not.
Through us, it'll be eternal.
What will be eternal?
We won't be eternal. But
we won't be, right. The statement of Hashem is eternal, the Amira. And so when Hashem tells the Kohanim their holiness, it's the same term as creation, Emor el HaKohanim. The Kohanim have to know that what I'm telling them is a constant, whether there's a temple or not. There's something different about a Kohen. A Kohen shouldn't think that his commandments are contingent on a temple. No more temple, let me go into a graveyard. Not true. The Kohen is being told in Amira because it is Tahara. It is Amarot Tehorot. It is statements of purity. That which is pure is separate from the physical world, is consistent. That's why the Kohanim and their commandment to be pure, not to go into a graveyard, that's a constant. Even if the temple is destroyed, they are still commanded not to go into a graveyard. We see that the 10 utterances of creation had potential to be annulled. Hashem said, if the Jewish people accept my 10 commandments, the world will continue, my 10 utterances will continue. And if not, they won't. That's why the Torah comes and tells us the sons of Aaron are given this gift, but on the condition that they also maintain the commandment not to become halalim, not to invalidate themselves or their children by going with the prohibited women. Remember, the prohibited women is gashmi. We said the strength of the Kohanim, the consistency of the Kohanim is Tahara. Tahara is when we separate from the physical. Why does a Kohen go after a woman he's prohibited with? Because he's attaching himself to the physical. Now he can destroy that gift which he was given long term.
Is it a Kohen? Or isn't a convert?
Wait. I want us to understand what we just said. There is an eternal link of holiness that goes from Aaron, a Kohen, to you. How many thousands of years? You are still holy. We treat you different. We give you the first aliyah because you are a continuation in that chain and no one broke that chain. If a Kohen goes and marries one of the people that they're prohibited, from that point onward till the end of time, the chain has been severed. His children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren forever are halalim. It's finished.
That's it?
Yeah. They can't fix it.
Damn.
Just to, and that means when a person today says, I'm a kosher kohen, what he's saying is, every person in the chain till Aaron didn't destroy it for me. I have the holiness of Aaron because every one of my grandparents, my paternal lineage till Aaron a kohen, was faithful to this commandment. So when Hashem said, Amira, Emora la Kohanim, just as I created the world with 10 Amirot, with 10 utterances, so too I'm creating a holiness that will continue throughout the generation with this utterance, with this commandment of Kohanim. Now, that also explains to us, on some level, what the Kohanim are saying in Birkat Kohanim. A Kohen stands up there and says, Asher kidishanu bikdushato shel Aaron. If a Kohen marries a woman, he's prohibited. He and his children can't go up there. They've severed themselves to some degree from kdushato shel Aaron. So the Amira is also contingent on the Dibur. Just as...
So it's also any contact with a non-prohibited woman, right?
Good question. We'll leave that hanging for now. It's obviously too many details to that. If a Kohen... Yeah?
But I don't understand why a real convert who converts, why he's Bichlal ready to... to marry a Kohen, because he should know that that is against of Hashem.
That, slowly,
the relationship will be every minute of the marriage will be a sin.
You're talking about a female convert.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they're meant. I thought they were holy.
They are holy. It's complicated. The holiness of a
blood. I mean, that's kind of racist, don't you think?
No, I don't understand. There are a lot of things that can't happen. I can't go into the Temple Mount and do service. Mashiach will come, and I can't, and you could. That's racist. We have different tasks.
That's a different task, but the woman can't marry a Kohen because she
wasn't can marry
a Jew,
everyone else.
Somebody wants to marry.
It's not because she wasn't a Jew. It's because. The world lives in a way that's impure.
A convert can actually marry more lineages than like Israelis, right?
Right.
So,
convert is given a greater breadth of who they can marry than a Yisrael. A Kohen they can marry, but they can marry many other people than a Yisrael cannot. But coming back to here, the Torah tells us that if a Kohen has a blemish, a Kohen's missing an arm, he can't do the service in the Beit HaMikdash. He retains the Kedusha, though. That holiness continues with him and his children. He can't go into a graveyard. He doesn't lose his Kedusha. But if a Kohen goes with a woman that's prohibited, then he's cut it off. That's it. His children are not going to be a continuation of that Kedusha that he has.
So why can't I marry the daughter of two converts? Two converts.
Who said you can't?
No, why can I? If they're both...
Who said? That's what I told you. It's not because the convert, there's something wrong with them. It's because of the defiled way of life that the non-Jewish world lives. If the non-Jewish world would live a life where I could know that things are appropriate, that the girl, everything was appropriate, that would be okay. The problem is that we know the world around us.
So even if I married an Amish girl... Like, that would be bad.
Chazal didn't start saying this girl, yeah, and that girl, no. Chazal said, no. It's the Torah said, a Kohen has to marry a girl that he knows did not have illicit relationships. And you cannot assume that a person that grew up in a culture that condones illicit relationships did not have illicit relationships. It's not that we're saying there's something wrong with her. It's we're saying she grew up in an environment that we have to assume that the environment lends itself and the majority of the people who come from the environment are that way. So that's it. It's off limits to Kohen. He's holy. He can't marry someone that had an illicit relationship. Now, the same is true of a Jewish girl. If there's a Jewish girl that had an illicit relationship means she went with a non-Jewish person, things like that, then...
So if she was with another Jew, that's cool?
It could be, but you better ask your, verify. It's not so simple.
As Rav Cohen, he said, today times are different.
What does that mean?
Means that they don't push you to marry a virgin girl. especially if you weren't a virgin yourself. So like they're a little bit lenient over there, because like this is the culture that we grew up in.
It's more complicated than that, but that's not our class right now. I'm saying...
you made your point.
No, I'm saying the general approach is we want to know that she didn't have an illicit relationship with a non-Jew. A girl that comes from South America, and you know she's not a virgin, so in South America, unfortunately, there are a large amount of people who are not only not virgins, but the Jews and the non-Jews mix. So I'm saying a broad term, South America, but in certain cultures in South America, it is definitely, unfortunately, sadly, accepted that the people who are not virgin have not only been with Jewish men, for example. Saying there are variants here. A kohen has to sit with his rabbi and figure out what he can and cannot do. Another thing a kohen might not know is that if the father was not Jewish, even though the mother was Jewish, and the girl is Jewish, the kohen may not marry her. A girl who is Jewish, her mother is Jewish, but her father was not Jewish, cannot marry a kohen.
I didn't know that.
So now you know. Okay, so that was part one. As far as the Kohanim and their holiness. That was part one.